Hey everybody, Dave Hodges here, host of the Common Sense Show. Welcome. We are the show that's freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. And we are certainly licking our wounds on the conservative side of the equation. But nonetheless, we still got to go out and feed our families. And so we do need to look at the economy. And one thing I forgot to talk to Bob about in our pre-discussion, I'm going to bring up to him, and our guest is Bob Kudla from Trade Genius, is my goodness gracious, the 19th straight month of declining wages. Wow. But we'll get into that. We're going to get into, now that the Democrats seem to be solidifying and centralizing power, where are things going to go? What can we expect to happen next? And I would look at this program as a prescription. And here's what I mean. A prescription to avoid pitfalls that are coming our way, but also take advantage of the opportunities that will certainly surface because of changing circumstances. So in every dark cloud, there's that silver lining. We're going to try to bring you some of those in this show. Bob, welcome to the program. Glad you could join us here today. And I'll just say this off the top. The ruling party that put this country in economic distress on the top levels of our economy, they still retain power. That's pretty amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, well, you know, it's not done yet. I think the House will still probably go Republican, and that will change some things. But
yeah, possibly.
Yeah,
but the Senate, wow. But the thing is Mitch McConnell, he destroyed any chance eight Republican senators had to overturn their opponents because he withdrew funding. That's just, Mitch McConnell was the main reason we didn't get the Senate. But unfortunately, American people are left here to say, well, gee, what should we be thinking about now? What should we be worried about? Where do I need to put my money? What should I be doing economically? And that's where I'd like to focus today. And I know you have lots of ideas on that.
Yeah, so there was an incredible news article came out this weekend that the Department of Defense is now going to highly consider, but likely are going to start funding the Canadian junior miners in strategic metals. You know, we already passed a law here in the United States about protecting domestic production, and now we're gonna start investing, because you know China's investing in these Canadian miners too. So the United States, through the Department of Defense, is gonna start engaging with these guys. I mean, for us, that's an incredible opportunity to make money. A lot of speculative money is gonna start coming in now. And I think it's going to be a tremendous opportunity. Anything in copper, cobalt, okay, rare earths, the P metals like platinum, palladium. There's a great vanadium mine in the United States. If you're a subscriber, I'll give you the name. And so I think it's going to be a renaissance of mining in the United States. I think, you know, even the Democrats can't avoid, they're trapped. They can't get away from fossil fuels unless they go with these exotic metals, and so they can't. And China is, and Russia are starting to block access to them for, you know, for their own personal domestic use. Nothing nefarious. That's just economic competition.
Sure.
And so we're going to have to now do it here. That's huge for the market. Number two, what happened is that, and we're going to get into this too in a little bit, is that we actually had a. There's a sea change in crypto world. Okay, oh, now yeah. Before anybody starts freaking out, Bitcoin, to me, I consider Bitcoin like gold. So you can separate Bitcoin from the rest of this conversation. But the alt market's dead. Okay, it's been killed, and we'll get into all the whys and wherefores and the meaning. But the beneficiary of this is not necessarily we're going to go digital, because I think they're going to have a civil war on their hands with that. But it's gold and silver are going to benefit from that, because a lot of speculation is coming into now gold and silver markets because they're blowing people out of crypto. And also more speculation is coming into the stock market now because the crypto gamblers are now, and the alt gamblers are going to come back into the U.S. market. And I think that is huge. And in energy, there's no choice. There's not enough energy out there in the world. So it's basically, to me, I call it the all of the above. You know, you want oil, you want gas, you want coal. I own all those. You also want to own SunPower. You also want to own ChargePoint. You want to own the renewables because there's a lot of money in there, whether you love them or hate them. One thing, you know, I think we've learned here over the last 3 or 4 years that you have to separate your personal feelings from work.
Okay? Yeah, well, you do that in your business, though. I know that you talk about something called your algorithm, which are bots that are programmed to follow the trends and not listen to emotions or fear.
That's right. So we've created, I think, a couple really effective algorithms, Dave, to help us really from macro all the way down to micro. So, you know, we know what happens with the seasonalities. We see what's happening where the money's flowing in sectors, and then we drive those into our macros that look at momentum and ranges. And that's why we've been pretty successful trading. And it also helps me because, look, I have very, very strong views on the way I like to see the world happen and why things aren't happening. But I totally separate those away from making money. And as long as what I'm doing is legal and moral, you know, I don't care if it's opposite of what I believe. I'm going to take the trade. And so if you don't mind me doing a quick plug, if people want to trade with us, you know, we trade the stock market. We trade the crypto markets. And we trade the futures options markets. And we have programs for all that. You can get in our chat rooms. You can get access to our algorithms. We can teach you how to trade. Right. And then we give trades out every day. And so, Dave, today's the start of our Black Friday special, 2 weeks. So people take advantage of our Black Friday special. It's the best pricing of the year. And you have to take advantage of it. We're normally 65% off our bundles or even more. You have to go check to see what those are. I don't think it's legal for me to say because they're so cheap. But we do this every year for 2 weeks. I would take advantage of your customer. This is the time to renew. We'll add it on to your subscription. And you know, basically use promo code Black Friday.
Yep.
If you want to just buy anything in the store. And once again, you have to go to the website to see the percentages. Yes, I'm teasing you. And then you just go and check it out. I think you'll really like what we do.
Okay.
You know, we're still winning at 2/3 rate. And this last couple of weeks, Dave, I think we're at an 80% rate. So it's really volatility is our friend.
No, I hear what you're saying. The way I understand it, you know, it's the way that you get into Trade Genius. And listen, we have lots of our audience in your organization, and they love it. In fact, I got a couple comments here from them that I'll share. But I guess what you do is you educate the people, and you use bundled, non-bundled items. And the way to get into that is to use that coupon code to get 50% off. How long is that discount good for?
Yeah, for your listeners, it's good for this Saturday coming.
Okay, so that'll be the, oh gosh, the 19th.
19th, yeah. But definitely check the specials out. They're the best we have all year. And when they're done. So we've been doing this for years this way. You know, I like to buy Black Friday specials, so we like to give out Black Friday specials. So take advantage of it. I think you'll like it. We definitely think we have this thing pretty wired right now. We've been on the right side of the trade now for years. So energy and precious metal, and I haven't been banging the drum on gold and silver, as you know, but now I'm banging the drum. So wheat and precious metals up 25% in 2 weeks, 30% up for Barrick gold. We're starting to get the money starting to flow into some of these bigger gold and silver miner names. FCX flying, BTU flying. So it's really going to be all about securing hard assets and commodities for the United States and Canada.
Yeah, before we go down that path, though, I want to complete what you're saying about Trade Genius, okay? Because
sure.
Let me tell you what I have here in front of me, a comment. This is what was made. It said, my biggest day ever, 26,000. So it said, enjoy vacations, blah, 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 blah. I want some more training. And it just goes on to say how much money they're making from this. And I get a lot of these from time to time. People write us about our sponsors. And I think it's absolutely fantastic that you're getting this kind of feedback. But what I want to go with this is your company is like the model for success. And I think people should be following what you're doing. And I mean both in business and both personally, because what you're doing is working. You win 2 out of 3 trades. You say you're close to 80% now, which is phenomenal. I forget what, and I call it return on investment. You had a different term for it, but that's phenomenal. It's usually in triple digits. And so how is it that you do this? I mean, this is the thing that I want you to share with the audience. How is it that you come in and you are playing in the same ballpark as the big boys and your numbers are kicking their ass every single day?
Yeah, well, because I'm not a big boy, number one, so I don't have the restrictions that they have. And they have what's called the law of large numbers that go against them. They can't buy the stuff that I can buy. You know, even though I trade mostly blue chip companies, they just can't move in and out to take advantage of what I would call the short term wiggles. You know, remember, we're in these trades 3 to 5 days mostly, Dave. So, you know, our algorithm sees it went to the bottom of the channel. We buy, we get out the top of the channel. You know.
So is that what you mean by the volatility? You're in it for a short time because things are going to change rapidly. So you like to jump on the up cycle and then get out.
Yeah, so what's happened in the market over the last 4 or 5 years is that you have an algorithm that tries to push things, you know, up the channel, and then you got algorithms that try to bring it back down the channel. And so you don't, you know, you get some sectors that are trending, like energy's been a good trend, but most cases you may get 1 or 2 or 3 days and they bring it right back down again. So why fight it? Just trade it. And you know, we're not day trading per se. You know, we're in these trades 2 or 3 or 4 days. Some trades we're in for months, some trades we're in for hours. But mostly it's less than a week, and we just take advantage of it. And that's number one. Number two is I can trade anything I want to trade. So I can trade the short ETFs if I want. You know, I can trade any sector I want.
Okay, so okay. Your size, you're working your size to your advantage, kind of like a person using judo.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. That makes sense, but it's amazing to me because I've known you for years now, and you're always way ahead of the curve on your profitability. A lot of people right now say, ooh, stock market, no way. And I go, well, do you know about Trade Genius? I've had this discussion privately with people. No, well, here are their figures. Oh, that just isn't true. And then I show them, and they go, oh, how are they doing it? So let me ask you this. If someone didn't even come into Trade Genius, if they followed what you were doing parallel to what you're doing, could they be as successful, or do they need the bots and so forth and so on, the algorithms?
Well, I mean, what the bot does, it just helps me find the trades.
Okay,
so,
okay. That's what I thought.
You know, look, you know, I outsource that to my math.
I get it. And
because I mean, if I just followed my own emotional thing, you know, there's a lot of things that people do that causes problems with trading is it's called fear of missing out, or you know you see somebody making money, you jump on that trade, but you're always late. And just to be really clear here, Dave, is that you know, we're not Lambo guys, so every one of my trades, it's on my spreadsheet. It's out there every single day, whether I make money or lost money. I mean, look, I lost money on Friday. I lost SARC. I was early on the move down. Lost 6% in one day. So, you know, I just want to be clear with people that this is not like Bob the Guru never loses money. It's just that we win more than we lose, and we win more money than we lose money when we win. That's the profit factor that I talk about. So over time, you know, we're averaging 118.4% annualized, okay? And we're still 65.35% win rate.
Wow. What's that again? Your annualized win profits were what? What percentage?
Yeah, it's 118.4.
God.
Now, just so people know, that's if you're 100% invested, equal weighted. You know, so the bottom line is you're going to do better than the market if you follow this system. Okay.
Wow.
You know, that's so incredible. I don't know how people position their sizes and, you know, whether they follow the stops or all that stuff. I put a stop and target on everything. So, you know, sometimes it'll take my stop out and go up 10%. I count that as a loss. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, you know, but it's a good system. I've been doing it for years, and it's very consistent. We laugh because, you know, year over year over year, I'm anywhere between, you know, 62 to 67% win rate. We know the algorithm works. And we tweak it based on volatility. You don't need to know any of that stuff, but that's all we follow. And then, look, the reason why I'm good at macro is that was my job, Dave, in my business world. You know, my job was strategic planning. My job was acquisitions. So I have a natural curiosity for what's next and why it's durable or why it's not durable. And that's why sometimes I say some very controversial things for people, but it ends up I being correct, is because, you know, people are blinded by their bias, whereas I just try to separate my bias from what I'm seeing. What they say, don't believe your lying eyes, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So I had to train myself into saying, Bob, I know you feel that's not going to happen, but you can't deny it's going to happen. Like, i.e., you know, renewables, oh, the Green New Deal, blah, blah, blah. Well, if they're going to stick $1 trillion in the Green New Deal, guess where I'm buying, Dave?
Exactly. Well, it's kind of like the silver thing, too. You know, let me run this by you, because I'm a big believer in silver now. It's underproduced, undervalued, and it's the darling mineral of the new Green Deal, because they need it for things like solar panels. So I think that's a great place to be. What do you think?
Yeah. I call it buy the silvers, platinum, palladium, silver. Buy the yellows, right? You know, you got lithium, you got uranium. Buy the rare earths. Buy copper. Buy the orange. You know, eat your multivitamins here. Buy all the colors, okay? Because they're all going to move. Buy black. Look at coal. You know, all that stuff is moving. China's reopening, Dave. You know, that's going to push oil up. That's going to push all the minerals up. Nickel went up 7% today. 7%. Okay, for a metal, you know. It's not like these things don't trade, then trade. You know, from yesterday, from Friday to Monday, what happened? China's starting to reopen. So people are starting to front run these moves. So that's going to help copper. It's going to help nickel. It's going to help lithium. It's going to help cobalt. And so there's stocks you can buy, especially North American stocks you can buy, so you can get away from the political pressure, and you're going to make a lot of money. Why fight it? You know, who cares who won the election? If you can, you know, your goal is to take care of your family.
Exactly. You know, exactly.
You can only vote. You can only, as far as I'm concerned, we get to vote once. Other people may vote more, but we only get to vote once. And so beyond that, you got to dust off and move on.
Yeah, I agree. You get knocked down, you got to get back up and keep playing in the game. You got to keep fighting. And I agree. And it's nice to have the politicians that put the best interest of the American people at heart, but that hasn't been that way for a long time, and it's getting worse. So you have to find ways to be successful and find your own niches. This is one of the reasons I'd like to have you on, because you're someone that's done that. I want to ask you your question, though, from a military standpoint. You have a military background that's pretty good, really good, in fact, and you have a financial background that's really good. So combining those two expertise together, you know, Biden just met with Xi Jinping for the first time in 5 years. What do you see coming out of this, and how will that affect the average American?
He wants to renew his relationship with the United States. China cannot survive if he doesn't have a friendly partner in the United States.
Well, Bob, I got to say, I actually like that, because I'd rather try to get along with China than have to go to war with China.
Yeah, and there's also, I think the Chinese are realizing that we're boxing them, you know, we're boxing them in, you know, so, you know, we cut off their access to high-tech chip manufacturing, we're bringing back more industrial supply, we're demanding our suppliers be diversified geographically, you know, our model, our economic model is more dynamic than the Chinese, you know, for many reasons. Even though, you know, we have Democrats trying to do their goofy stuff, it's still very dynamic. And I think he realizes he just can't lean on Russia. And this whole thing about this multipolar world thing is a fantasy of the left. Okay, there's no multipolar world. There's only the United States. Okay, when I say United States, throw the Five Eyes in there. Okay. I call it the Five Eyes, right? You got India and Israel. And push comes to shove, India will drift our way, because we represent the market for them, okay? And, you know, China and India are strategic competitors. You know, India can't sell into Russia. You know, there's not enough people. You know, people don't realize Russia only has 140 million people.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay? It's not like it's a huge market. you know, for somebody to make a big bet versus $300 million, 300 million people in the United States that are rich, okay? They have 140 million people in Russia that are poor. And so, so I think there's a lot of things happening there. You know, I think we, I don't think we see a lot of things that happened up there. And you're talking about military. Our space shuttle just came home after 900 days. You know, you wonder how many bombs they planted on every Russian and Chinese satellite up there, right?
You know, well, yeah, you know, I'm hearing that. I'm hearing the Chinese are trying their stuff too, to blind our over-the-horizon radar satellites. I've heard that from some military people, but they haven't been successful. So you're right. There are things going on in space, no question about it. Do you think space provides a shift in the balance of power? Those who control the high ground there will control the planet?
Oh, yeah. We're 20 years ahead of everybody there. And then the Air Force, we're 50 years ahead. You got to remember, you know, our B-2 bomber and our F-35 is 25-year-old tech. You know, all those UFOs that you see out there, Dave, they ain't green Martians, okay?
I know. I hear you. I hear you. Yeah.
So, but yeah, but hey, but I want to shift gears a little bit too, because I want to throw a few things at you that I may gore some oxes here, but I think people need to hear it, whether they agree with me or not. They need to pay attention. I think the crypto alt market is dead. I think there's some strategic decapitation going on now in the crypto space that people need to be aware of. Okay, so
does that include Bitcoin, Bob?
No, Bitcoin to me is you know, my personal view, Bitcoin is an NSA CIA project, and it's never going to go away.
Okay.
But the altcoins were extreme amount of speculation overseas on that stuff, and then you know. And then you end up with this FTX creation. This guy came out of nowhere, okay? It was kind of a weird thing. There's a lot of controversy behind it. And not to get you in trouble, you can draw your own conclusions as to who was backing them. But I think the Chinese took out FTX through Binance.
Why would China want to do that?
Well, because FTX was going to try to take Binance out.
Okay, that makes sense. And so they were engaged in a war for a competition over one market, and the Chinese won. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, FTX was trying to create regulatory capture that then would flow from the U.S. into Europe. They were already boxing out Binance in Europe. They already boxed them out of the U.S. FTX was going to become this monster, and he took them out in one day. The guy was an idiot. The guy runs FTX, or he was a useful idiot, I should say. But it's going to blow up the whole alt market. What are the use cases for most of these alts, right? Most of these speculation. Even if you have stuff that has good use cases, people are so scared to death now of where are you going to speculate now if all the exchanges are blowing up or they're frauds, right? So it's going to bring it right back down to Bitcoin. And so Bitcoin's going to have short-term pain, Dave. Could get all the way down to 10K. And before it starts its halving cycle. So we're basically now knocking the rest of the garbage off of that whole space. To me, crypto is always Bitcoin. You know, that's been my thing. The Solana thing, gone. They blew that whole chain up with FTX, gone. And then Binance now is in trouble. So you know, when people are listening to this stuff, you know, if you have altcoins, I'm sorry. You know, you just can look at your own performance to see.
Yeah, that's true. I'm sorry to say, but you're right.
But Bitcoin is going to be okay. I put Bitcoin and gold. They're the two non-liability coins out there. I swear that I believe it's definitely government sponsored, and I think it was sponsored within the United States. Deep state, and I don't know what deep state. I don't know, but it's definitely hidden from view. I mean, a guy doesn't make $30 or $40 or $50 billion and never surface, right? So I think there's more to it. You know, the United States government probably owns those coins. And if you notice, they have a law passed that they can confiscate Bitcoin as they need to from a legal standpoint, not because they want to. That may come later. But so they're holding coins. And so to me, all coins are dead. That means more speculation in the rest of the stock market. We blew a lot of people out, okay? They're going after all these exchanges. You know, we're going to end the day with probably United States, Kraken, you know, Coinbase, and Gemini, all right? And so I just want to bring that up to people. Whether you agree with me or disagree with me, I don't think you can argue with what happened this weekend was strategic, and I think it's – the ramifications are still – but look, there's political ramifications that we probably can't talk about yet. It depends on who wins the House, whether we get more information on that or not.
Yeah, that's true.
This was a Ponzi scheme, and it's going to cause the government to crack down even harder on crypto, whether we like it or not. They are going to use this as an excuse.
Janet Yellen said that 2 days ago. She called for regulation, yes.
Yeah, so you know, this is all part of their plan, okay? And who knows? This FTX could have been just set up to do exactly what it just did.
Yeah.
Okay? You know, anymore, I believe every conspiracy theory, Dave.
Well, it's amazing how many conspiracy theories end up coming true. It's interesting. You know, I love the idea there's no such thing as a conspiracy theory, like two bad people wouldn't plan to do something together to do something wrong. Do you know what's interesting, though, is the FTX leader, he ran to Argentina. And what's interesting is there's not a bigger communist government in the Americas than Argentina, and that Cristina Fernandez is really the power behind it all, and she's welcomed in the Chinese. So here this guy does war with China, gets his butt kicked financially, and he runs to a China-controlled country. Don't you find that odd?
Well, I don't think it's odd at all. He came out smelling like a rose. He stole money. Probably one or two. And, you know, here's the thing that we're learning. When this thing all lays out, you know, he was taking U.S. citizens' money, moving it to his offshore, and then investing in projects. And who knows where that money went? It could be all collected somewhere else. It could be sitting in our – he could be worth $10 billion in an Argentinian bank, okay, as far as we know, right? He was – his father's specialty was in tax shelters. Okay?
Makes sense. Yeah,
this guy – just don't – separate FTX from this dude. Okay, I don't know if he planned it the way it happened to him, but he had back doors, he had a backup plan. There's a reason why he was in Bahamas, a reason why he owned a private jet, right? and then his partner that ran the other thing, she's sitting in Hong Kong, okay?
Oh, there you go. Would he be arrested if he set foot on American soil?
Well, he's not been indicted yet.
Yeah, but what's your feeling about that? Would they go after him?
Well, I don't know. He's well connected.
Okay, yeah, and I know what you mean by that too. I think you're probably right. That well connection would probably save him. Do you think he had any collusion with the Chinese, where they jointly planned that FTX would fail and China would emerge as the winner, and that's why he settled in Argentina?
Don't know. All I know that Binance took him out.
Okay.
But you could tell something was weird like the 2 weeks before all this happened. He was running around the world trying to raise money because he knew he got caught in a Ponzi. I don't think he planned it the way it happened. I just think that he had enough forethought for an escape plan. Okay. Because I don't know if the political parties in the United States necessarily wanted to have things exposed that are getting exposed.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I would agree.
So we'll just have to see where this all plays out on this. But yeah, it doesn't really matter to me. All that matters to me is that our regulators chase down two big crooks and they leave the massive crooks alone. You know, and you can draw your own conclusions as to why.
Okay. Well, I want to look at the spinoff effect, though, without going into the politics of it. The FTX failure, in your opinion, that's going to destroy crypto. Is the damage permanent, or is there a bounce-back possibility?
I don't know. You know, many people said this thing's going to die before. I would just say in the near term, it's a death knell to a lot of the altcoins.
Okay, yeah, all right. And that certainly would cause you to say, not want to go nowhere near this stuff. Would this also cause you to shy away from Bitcoin, even though Bitcoin survived?
Oh, no, absolutely not. I think I think Bitcoin's going to go lower, but it's going to be a tremendous buying opportunity. And here's the thing, too. You could trade Bitcoin on the stock market. You don't necessarily have to have an exchange. Like, I trade Mara with puts and calls. I trade BITI with puts and calls. So, and those are BITI is a short Bitcoin. So if I'm positive on Bitcoin, I'm buying BITI puts. If I'm bearish on Bitcoin, I'm buying their calls. And it's all short-term stuff. Mara, the same way, they're a miner. All the miners now are losing money, by the way. Okay, electricity is too high. The calculations are more difficult, so it's taking up too much energy. Okay, and the price isn't there to support it. So short term, we're going to see a big consolidation in the crypto miners too now, Dave, as well.
Oh boy.
So right now it's weird. You know, I'm short Mara because I think even if they survive, they're going to lose money next quarter.
You can tell people what Mara is. They may not know.
Well, they're a crypto miner, so they get paid by solving the puzzles, right? And they get the coins. And they're probably in the number one miner out there in terms, but they're losing money too. So, you know, sometimes these things happen. Actually, ironically, when the miners lose money, it's usually at the bottom of the Bitcoin winter. Okay, so this has to happen for the cleansing. And then I think if Bitcoin gets anywhere around 10,000, you know, look, if you're afraid of getting on a Coinbase exchange, just, you know, you can buy BITI puts. You can buy Bakkt Holdings, BA. Here, let me pull it up what it is here while I'm talking to you. BKKT, you can buy BKKT. You know, there's Global X Blockchain, BKCH. These are all, you know, longer term opportunities for people that just want to stay in the stock market and invest that way. Then obviously if you're a Bitcoin maximalist, you're ignoring everything I say anyway. But if you trade out of these things, then I would look at probably Gemini. My business partner, he went ahead and did some studies, and Gemini is probably the most trustworthy exchange. So that's an exchange that somebody should consider for Bitcoin. So, and those guys have money in their exchange, so that it helps when you eat your own dog food.
Okay. All right. I tell you, you've really broken it down like we're not hearing. Let me ask you just an opinion question here. All right. Why aren't we hearing this kind of analysis? Well, you do with a couple of Fox people, but across the board in the mainstream media, why aren't we hearing this kind of honesty, honest assessment of what's going on?
Well, I mean, it's no different than things that people are about online is, you know, you're afraid to get canceled.
Okay. So, all right.
Look, my thing is that they asked people why they did such poor due diligence on FTX. Can one guy send me because they were on the cover of Fortune? So what that translates into, I did a light touch because other people smarter than me already bought. So I'm kind of coattailing on them. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Well, they must have done due diligence. And everybody else is probably saying, why did you do it? Because they did it. And then you find out nobody did it.
Yeah. Okay.
And you know, so that's why. So look, FTX is spending a lot of money out there, naming right, whole nine yards, Dave. Remember that. You know, that Miami Heat, Tom Brady, Matt Damon. Where the hell's Matt Damon been?
Yeah, well, you know, it's interesting. Tom Brady and his ex-wife are out there doing PR work for FTX. I could not believe when I saw that. I thought, you guys, the game is over. The game is over. You're chasing something that's already lost.
Right, now they're getting divorced. And so who knows? You know, so, yeah, so my view on that is that, you know, where the money is, why couldn't people talk about certain pharmaceutical products, right? Because they're paying the bills at the news media, right?
True.
You know, why do people not ask the Fed hard questions at their press conference? Because you're not going to get invited back again. You see what I'm saying? So that's what causes people to have perceived bias, because it's what they don't talk about. And they don't do the homework anymore. Because everybody's off in some way, shape, or form.
Well, that's true, and it's kind of like age immemorial. Remember, Jesus chased the money changers from the temple. Not much has changed. I totally agree with what you're saying there. So it's up to people to find their niches of what works. I want to ask your opinion on something else, though, because here again, finance is ruling government, and here's what I mean. The European Union will never give in to Russia. Putin evil. He's got to be gone. We'll do anything it takes to take him out. And the Netherlands just canceled their sanctions. Did you know that? They canceled the sanctions against Russia.
Yeah. Well, you know, real politics always takes
over. It's just, absolutely, it's stunning to me. Okay, so as we sit here today, okay, and going forward now, post-election, Democrats are going to remain in control, blah, blah, blah. Okay, but going forward, you know, let me ask you this opinion question here. And I've been wondering this, and I meant to ask you the last time you were on, and we didn't get to it. So I want to ask you now. To me, and I do agree with you, America, when you look at the upper levels, the top level of our military, the top level of this, that, or the other, we are still ahead of the game. Okay? So to me, it may not matter who really runs the government, which political party, except it matters a hell of a lot to the middle class who runs the government. What do you think about that statement?
Oh, well, no, I agree. The problem with the middle class is we don't have representation for the middle class. So I think the Republicans really need to really think about it. Look, the Democrats are very clear who their customer is. It's African-American married women, okay? They do not play that precept. And Republican Party needs to make, they get to find a majority in there, but they ignore the middle class. Okay, they disdain, you know, what I would call the white, blue collar vote, and that's the married purple vote, okay? Because they're for whatever reason, they hold them with disdain, right? Or they can't get money out of them. Democrats can't be allowed to vote, okay? The Republicans are only interested in getting your money. And so they don't do the black, you know, this first time this election, I saw more grassroots efforts. And I think you saw pay. You know, you saw more people out to vote. It's just that it was lumpy where it was. But look, you know, I would look at Carrie Lake in Arizona. She represented what I would call middle class anxieties, right? And did Mitch McConnell lift a finger to help a Republican win the election? No. He sent money up to protect Murkowski because she protected him. Okay? Yeah. When it was Republican, regardless up there, number one and number two Republicans on the runoff. And he spent money in that race. Spent money in that were competitive, okay? And then the other thing is, and I know this is controversial, but, you know, Trump had a hard-on to get Oz in there. He got Oz and Mastriano in there, okay? Oz was rejected by the middle-class white voter in Virginia. The reddest of the counties had a higher Fetterman vote than expected. Because they didn't have one of those in there. He was interloper coming in. So there are some things that they really need to do some soul searching on to protect, you know, the class before there isn't going to be a class. And then the Democrats are going to have the win the election from now until my grandchildren die.
Sorry, you broke up a little bit there. Maybe you can reorient a little bit. Can you say that last part here about the survival of the middle class?
Yeah, if the middle class doesn't survive, the Democrats are generational dominance. My grandchildren will be dead before anything because you wipe out the middle class, all you have is the starving class and the kissing ass class. Okay.
Okay, so I do agree we're moving in that direction. We have been for a long time. So if the middle class disappears, who does that favor ultimately, the Democrats or the Republicans?
No doubt the Democrats.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. Exactly.
Yeah, so that's the whole thing is, you know, they the Republicans voted for tax reduction, you know, constantly, and now 50% of the people pay taxes. Do you think they're ever going to vote for somebody to raise them? You know, now we have deficit running. So, you know, the Republicans are very, they treat the game, and the Democrats treat it as a war. Okay.
You know, you're right. I covered this in a podcast I did for YouTube. I said, you know, leave all these discussions about voter fraud out. They're not going to go anywhere, okay? And that's really clear. The courts won't even hear them, so it's irrelevant to really focus on that now. But the thing I would say is this, is that the Democrats took advantage of the changed election laws that came into play when we went away from precincts to open voting centers. Some of it was COVID-related. And they get the vote out early. They make sure they recircle. They find out who's voted, who hasn't voted. They cure ballots at a higher rate, you know, to take the damaged ballots and get them through. The Republicans barely pay attention to that. And in Maricopa County, that could have cost Carrie Lake as many as 90,000 votes from what we're hearing. And that's just taking advantage of the rules that exist to the full extent of the law. And the Republicans don't do it. Why do you think the Republicans appear not to give a crap and the Democrats take care of every detail in elections?
Well, I just probably in the DNA is that, Republicans aren't very good at hand fighting. And I think that was the appeal of Trump. Trump was a hand-to-hand fighter. Okay. And it's a generation of people that understand how to play that game without the baggage of Trump. You know, has many things that piss people off that he draws out the Democrat base too. So you got a guy like DeSantis who has no problem doing hand-to-hand fighting, right? But other than that, he doesn't cause controversy. Youngkin, okay, he's a rising star. You know, you got the guy that just got voted in the Senate and the Attorney General. He's a rising star. You get some smart people. Look at what Lee Zeldin did in. He almost pulled that thing off.
Yeah, it's okay? Amazing. What he did was incredible, actually.
So, there are messages that work and resonate and you have to do. The people that need to be put in. You know, the problem we have now is that, and it's like an industry. It's called the weed retailing. You know, you know this too. Once you get established, you end up playing defense, okay? And so you have guys like McConnell who've been in charge for so long. You know, he's not interested in new and exciting. He's interested in protecting, you know what I mean, and protecting his turf, his domain, his contributors, and sometimes to the expense of the party, okay? And so that's what's happening here. So you know, we're going to have to break bread with somebody new here. You know, and that's what I'm saying. Hey, maybe Trump served his purpose, and we got to move on from him. McConnell absolutely served his purpose, got to move on from him, which is ironic because McConnell and Trump hate each other, and together they did the most powerful thing ever. They got the Supreme Court elected. You know, so it's just really weird. I mean, somebody asked me in the room today, why don't you just get along for the good of the country? And I'm like, well, you just made the point. None of this is about good for the country, it's about good for them. And so, you know, Trump had a tremendous opportunity to bring two factions together. Factions are hardened now. And, you know, and I'm for a civil war between those factions before it's done, and the middle class is sitting in the crossfire.
Yeah, it's interesting you'd say that. Josh Hawley came out today. Senator Hawley said, we need to tear the Republican Party down. That's a quote, and start over.
Yeah, same with Tom Cotton. He's another. You know, in there too. I mean, look, there's no reason why Montana should have a Democrat in the Senate. There's no reason why Idaho should have a Democratic governor. You know what I'm saying? It's just like those things make no sense, and it happen. And so, you know, it's just not the, you know, no overarching strategy. You know, it's very, very, they're very tactical, and they don't like to get their hands dirty. So we're Democrats. Look, and this is where Steve Bannon is so important, because I think he has it right. You start from the board, you work your way up to president, right? The Republicans start at the president, and they work their way down the school board.
I never thought of it that way. That's That's really interesting. And you're right. The Republicans, more than the Democrats, are afraid to get their hands dirty. That's why they're getting their ass kicked in every election.
Yeah, and not everything the Democrats does is illegal. I don't agree.
No,
with
it's 19- not. It's not. They're taking advantage of the laws they've been able to get into place.
Right. They. Right. You just like what Trump said. You want to change it? If you want me to pay more taxes, change it. If you want to get more Republican voters, you change the laws. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. He's exactly right. Well, Trump understands this because in his business world, he's had to get his hands dirty. And too many Republicans are nothing but career politicians that don't understand that concept. They don't know what it means to get your hands dirty.
By the time a Democrat is running for Senate or Congress, or they've already been in politics for 10 or 15 years. Republicans, most of these guys that are first coming are taking a shot at this stuff because of they get them into boards, they get them into city council, they get mayor races, they get them on water boards. You see, where they can learn how to communicate. Remember, being a good businessman and being a good politician are two different skill sets. Occasionally, I can bridge it. Look at Trump. He was a businessman going into politics. There were sharp elements everywhere, right? You know, very few people can blend those two things together. And the Democrats, they have an internship program starting with these kids at age 16.
That's right. That's right.
And they're moving right up where you might be 35 years old and saying, "Well, I better run because this guy sucks," right? And then you get your head handed to you, and you don't know what happened, you know. And so that's where the Republicans need to. Look, we have the best ideas. There's no reason in the world where what Biden's approval rate should not have translated into more votes. We're really close, right? So it's just. Where it mattered, it fell short. Now, one or two candidates that were just probably not the right candidates on this.
No, you're right on the money. As much as I love Carrie Lake, and I think she's honest, sincere, and had good ideas, it was her first run in office. Blake Masters, first run in office. Amade, who ran for Attorney General in Arizona, first run in office. And all three are going to lose. So you're absolutely right that the Democrats play the long game. They train their people. In fact, actually, the Democrats are the ones that want to lower the voting age for the president down to age 16.
Right, right, because they know that you get more stupid voters.
Boy, is that ever true. Did you see Gen Z voting? It was incredible. 70% voted straight Democrat. It was absolutely amazing. Of course, when people are going to pay off your student loan debt, or so they thought was going to happen, it's not now, but they didn't know that going into the election, you know, you're going to vote your pocketbook. And young voters are typical, a little more liberal until they realize you got to pay bills and you got to take care of your kids, and then they start changing their philosophy in their 30s. But the bottom line is the Democrats have control of education. They have control of the existing voting laws, and they've taken full advantage of it. I mean, the bottom line is this election can be blamed on the fact that the Republicans don't work as hard as the Democrats. At least that's my take.
Yeah, and also the pain wasn't there yet. You know, it's funny because where I live in Southern California, I was just talking to my wife about this yesterday, and my business partner, I said, we absolutely must live in a bubble here. Every home in my neighborhood gets bought and sold right away because people just pay cash for it. You know, I went restaurants. You have to have reservations. You can't get in. You know, the price of food has doubled at the restaurants in the last year. We went and did some pre-Christmas shopping, you know, yesterday just so we could be in front of the curb. Everywhere we went was crowded. Everywhere. So everybody's out. Every restaurant, people are sitting outside. And so, you know, the pain's not there yet for enough places people to say, you know, okay, when I went out of these guys and I'm also painful. You know, New York was close. Okay, they got really close in New York. And I think we're going to go into a recession here in the next 2 years. And I think the timing's probably not going to work for 2024. And then we'll have to see if the House goes red. You know, there will be some hearings. You know, so more things will get exposed. But, you know, I've had enough pain yet. When oil doubles here, if China opened, oil is going to double. We'll talk about that next month, Dave.
That's a fascinating topic, and I hear where you're going with this. I've heard the same thing. Yeah, I do want to hit that next time we're together. But for right now, if you were to advise the average American middle class who's managing not to be living month to month, what would you tell them they should be doing with their money? Where should they be going? And let's keep it really simple for the non-technical audience.
Yeah, you need to put your money in anything that you need to survive. So you want to put it in companies that make food, make energy, minerals. Okay, done. If you're older, every one of those companies that have dividends, you want to own them. If you were to recession, interest rates will fall in a recession, even though it doesn't look like it now. You want to own bonds. So it's simple as that. Stay away from tech, other than maybe the automation companies, but social media is peaked. Okay.
Social media is peaked, you said? Okay. Social media is peaked. Okay.
Computer hardware is peaked. Silicon Valley is in big trouble. They're getting wiped. Biotech has a future, whether or not you believe the controversy or not. But it's too volatile for people. It's all news driven. Healthcare, look, we're still dying, right? So healthcare is still an area where you can make money. So those are the areas. So stay away from real estate, toxic, okay, for the most part. And financial, toxic, okay, because people are going to be defaulting left and right in this recession. Okay, tech, stay way overpriced for what you're getting in terms of growth. But healthcare, commodities, energy, and I think I got it right. Yeah, and maybe some automation. But that's it. Remember, commodities, China's opening. Energy is because we don't make enough of it. Okay, healthcare is because we're getting old. And that's where the money's going to go.
Uh-huh.
Remember our conversation, the enforcement of the economic apocalypse. Food, energy, healthcare, and rent. Okay, rent's probably down. That's why real estate suck. Okay, so that's where you put your money, folks.
No, that's true. And do you think that is, going back to Trade Genius for a second, does your algorithm reflect that advice, do you think?
Well, yeah, absolutely. In my own personal portfolio, we almost at our high mark, my family's net worth, because we stayed in those names long term. I wasn't chasing everything. We're ExxonMobil, we're in, GPP, we're in USAC, all these things are generating 8%, 12% dividend, doubled in growth, so we're happy. And then now I'm layering in, bought Wheat Precious Metal, bought Hecla, bought Barrick Gold. Those are all going to get doubles. I'm in uranium, okay? So those are all great companies. And just enjoy it. And I'm building a position now in TNT, the long bond, okay? So that's where you want to have your money.
Okay. That makes perfect sense. That's why this is why you guys are winning 2 out of 3 trades, and you got that 118% what I call return on investment annualized. I mean, that's absolutely incredible, and that's why you're doing it, because you're sticking to your own advice. But it's interesting. My wife and I took an investment class. Oh gosh, it was when I just first started coaching at this college, so we got the free class. And the lady that was giving the class said, "Forget all the technicalities. Buy what people will need." Invest in what people will need. And that's kind of what you're saying here, too. As you were talking about healthcare investment, well, we have an aging population. That's the advice that I heard, gosh, probably now 30 years ago. And absolutely fantastic advice. Let's go back over, because I want to leave people with something whenever we have author on, we talk about book, we have financial people on, we talk about their business. So you've got a really good special for people to get involved in what you're doing and kind of get on the good side of winning here. And your deal is open until November 19th, which is Saturday. And to get in, to get the discount on what I call the educational materials, the bundled, non-bundled items that teach people how to do what you do. And let's see if I got this right, Bob. It's 50% off until the 19th. Coupon code is Black Friday.
That's right. Yeah, until Saturday.
Did I get that right? That's till Saturday, yeah. I meant. Yeah, but Black Friday is the code. And folks, I can tell you, you really want to take a strong look at this, because you're not going to find many opportunities that have this kind of success ratio now in this economy. I don't think the economy is declining, Bob, and we're almost out of time. I think the economy is shifting more than it's – I think the economy is declining some. A recession's coming. But I think the economy is more shifting than declining. What do you think?
Yeah. I call it the Great Rotation.
Okay, that's exactly. That's a great way to put it. Well, my friend, we are out of time, but I want to thank you for coming on and sharing your political economic views, because eventually they all tie together and one affects the other. And it was an exciting hour. Thanks, Bob.
Thanks. Have a great day.
Take care.